And we're holding on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the, three lines from the bottom. Okay. We learned yesterday a braisa that talks about what happens if you have, so you have a shur that caused the nezek, and we said a shur tam, since you're paying migufoy, so we had a machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, what the situation with that is. Do we say that the two of them, do we say Rabbi Shmuel says that just the nezek is owed money? So therefore, but he doesn't have any ownership of the animal, itself. So therefore, we talked about the other guy could sell it, and he could do all kinds of things with it. He could sell it, he could be makdish it, etc. Then we said that, on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva said that no, the two of them are partners in it, and therefore it's not so simple to sell it. If he does, then the other guy can, then the nizek can take it back. And similarly with various other things. So continuing analyzing the braisa then. So the Gemara says, so where are we? The braisa said, kodmo bali choyves vihibiru. We said that if a Baal Choyv came and took the animal because some of the Ruvain, the Mazik, also owed money to somebody else, and that somebody else came and took the animal to collect the debt. So then we said, Ben Chov ad Shalei Hizik, whether the Choyv came first or the Hezik came first, either way, Loi Osav Loi Klum, what the Baal Choyv did doesn't count for anything. The Nizik is able to come and take the animal away from him, Lefisha Ein Mashalom Elam Igufoy, because when it comes to a tam, you're paying only out of the goof of the animal, and therefore, again, according to Rabbi Akiva, the nizek is now considered a part or whole or complete owner of the animal, depending on how much of the animal's value is needed to pay for the nizek. So therefore his claim to it overrides the Baal Choyv's. Well, the Gemara asks, Bishlema Hizik Ad Shalei Chov, so I can understand why, if the nezek came first, and then later on, Ruvain borrowed money from somebody, so you can say Nizak and Kodmu, sure, we can understand the nezek's claim on this animal comes first. So therefore he should have the right to take it. On the face of it, though, if the Choyv came first and then the Nezek, Baal Choyv Kodim. Shouldn't the Baal Choyv come first? After all, his Shibud comes first. And furthermore, continues the Gemara, Ba'afilu Hizik Ad Shalei Chov, Baal Choyv Kodim. On the face of it, though, you should ask that even if the Nezek came before the Choyv, still the Baal Choyv should be first to be able to grab it. So why is the Nizek able to take it away from him? In other words, once he has it already, maybe he shouldn't be getting it first, but if he was Tofus it, why shouldn't he be able to keep it? Shmamina, does that mean that we can prove from our Braisa that the Baal Choyv Me'ucho Shekodim Megova, suppose it's not a Nizek and a Baal Choyv, suppose it's two Baal Choyvs. So Reuven has borrowed money from both Shimon and Levi, and he borrowed from Shimon first, he borrowed from Levi afterwards. Does that mean that if Levi goes and grabs something in payment of his debt, Shekodim Megova, if he goes ahead and collects ahead of Shimon, Masha Gova Loi Gova, are we going to say that what he collected is not considered a valid collection? And he has to give it back and allow Shimon to take it first, and only after Shimon's debt is satisfied can he, Levi, take it. Because that's what we seem to be saying over here, that even though the Baal Choyv came first, or even though he took the shur first, even though his choyv came afterwards, we're saying either way, we don't allow him to keep it. We allow the nizek to take it from him instead. Now the point is, there's machloikas on that point in the Gemara and Ksuvus, whether a later Baal Choyv can collect earlier, or that can collect earlier than an earlier Baal Choyv. Should we say that our Braisa is only according to that one opinion, and that not everybody would agree to it? That those who say that a later Baal Choyv collects earlier can, the Dievedi can keep what he took, then they would disagree with this Braisa and say the same way if the Baal Choyv took the animal, then the Nizek can't than it is a can't take it away from him. The Gemara says loy, not necessarily. You could say maybe that normally a later Baal Chayv could collect earlier than an earlier Baal Chayv. The shiny Hossam, it's different in this case of the Shur, the Amalei, because the Nizik can say to the Baal Chayv, Ilu Gabochava, look, if the animal had been by you before it ever caused a hezek, suppose that you, Levi, had gone and taken the animal from Reuven before it ever caused a nezek, and then while you owned it, then it caused a hezek to my shur. Well, loy minoch have a gavile. Wouldn't I be collecting from you because you'd be the mazik then? So the high tota, the azgam, minemishalamna. After all, I'm getting paid out of this shur. So therefore, so he can tell Levi, it's true, you had every right to take it from Reuven. However, the fact is, one way or the other, this shur caused damage, and I'm entitled to collect from that shur. And therefore, it doesn't really matter whether you collected it first. If you had collected it first before there was ever any nezek, and it caused a nezek in your possession, then also you'd have to give it to me. So the same way now, then you have to give it to me. Which Tosfos points out, sure, you could say if it was Levi's ox when it caused damage, of course it was Peshea, so then he'd have reason to pay here. Levi wasn't Peshea. Tosfos says, fine, that's true. We don't mean literally this argument in the Gemara. All we mean is, in other words, that he tells Levi, look, you have a debt that Reuven owns you, fine, that Reuven owes you, fine, but the shur itself is not under a shibud to it, whereas the shur is more meshubud to me because it caused the damage to me. So therefore, I should have a right to take it from you. The Rashba phrases it a little differently. He says look, you're only coming to claim this animal because your choiv came first. The fact of the matter is, one way or the other, I would have been collecting from you. Okay. Getting back now to the situation, so we described in the Mishnah, you have a case where one shur injures another or kills another, and we talked about exactly, we said, what happens if the chatzi nezek is equal to the value of the animal, what happens if it's less, what happens if it's more than the value of the animal. So now let's talk about another case.
One second. How does the halacha resolve the connection between the ownership of the animal and the damage? Is the ownership meant to be the possession of the animal, or is the ownership meant to be the leverage on the debt? It's not very clear.
So you do have a case we're going to talk about later in the Masechta, where you have an animal, but you gave it over to a watchman, to a shomer, or to a shepherd, or whatever, where then that person is taking responsibility for it instead of you. If at that point causes the hezek, then it's on that shomer to pay up. No, what we're saying
over
here
is... In our case,
what you have is, the animal belongs to Reuven. It caused damage to Shimon's animal. Now, separately than that, Reuven owes money to Levi. We're saying that Levi went ahead and said, look, since Reuven has not paid off his debt to me, I'm going to go take this animal, which is worth the value of my debt. What we're saying over here is Shimon has the right to take that animal away from Levi and say, basically, my ownership of this animal, my shibud of this animal overrides yours. We both have, Reuven owes us both money, but his owing me money is more directly connected with the fact that it is more connected directly with this particular ox, whereas yours is not. So therefore, regardless of whether your choiv came first, or regardless even of whether we say that a later Baal choiv, the Dievet, is able to collect it ahead of an earlier one, either way, we're going to say that my shibud is stronger than yours because mine has to do with the animal itself. That's what we're saying.
Well, here we're addressing the shibud question. What I'm trying to address is the liability question. Who is liable?
There's no question. Whoever owns the animal at the time is the one that's liable. If the animal causes
but
the animal
that's
while
the question.
Reuven, yes, so then Reuven is the one liable. If Levi had gotten the first,
that,
then it would be... Yeah.
But that is the question. What is meant by ownership? Is it possession of the animal, or is it
possession of the animal? Once an animal belongs to you, then you have to take steps to prevent it from causing damage. It may not be in your physical possession right now. Well, okay, whose physical possession is it right now? Have you delegated it to them as a shomer? If not, then it's your responsibility to. And if not, you know, we learned earlier, for example, that if it's in the hands of a cheder shirt of a cotton, then you can be chayev. So yeah.
But that's exactly the crux of the question. If the animal is in a possession of the whoever it's in possession is of, whether it's the so that should be the ownership.
That's fine. No, because it's not the possession, the ownership. If the animal belongs to Reuven, but right now, for whatever reason, it's in Levi's hands. So again, has Reuven designated Levi as a shomer? Has Levi agreed to become a shomer for it? Then Levi would be the one who's chayav. If he has not, then it's Reuven's responsibility. Still, he has to make sure the animal is guarded because it's his animal.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's revisit this later.
Okay, we need to go on anyway. We can talk about this later. So the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, Shor Shova Masayim Shenogach Shor Shova Masayim. If you have two animals, each worth 200 zuz, and one of them gored the other, V'chova by V'chamishim zuz, it caused 50 zuz worth of damage. So right now, the Nizek animal is worth only 150. V'shovach V'omad Al Arbameh zuz. Now, later on, the animal that was gored eventually improved in strength and in health, and now it's worth 400 zuz. Well, she'll mullet, one second, she'll mullet lo hiziko now. So on the face of it, then the hezek has been more than made up for. However, she'll mullet lo hiziko, however, if there had not been the damage in the first place, then it would have been worth 800. So, he pays according to the time of the nezek. Now, Rashi says there are two ways of understanding what the Gemara is, what the Braisa is telling us. One is that we don't say, look, the mazik can say, what do you mean? I should have to pay you for the damage. The fact is, the animal is worth even more than when everything started. Before it was worth 200, now it's worth 400. So he should say, in other words, my nezik has more than been paid off for. Nevertheless, he can tell him the fact is it would have been worth even more, and therefore you're still responsible for the nezik that you did at the time. So therefore, there was a nezik of 50. Therefore, you still owe 25. Later on, it improved in health. Doesn't matter. You still owe me the 25. No, but we're going to talk soon how it improved. Yeah, no, we're going to talk about soon how it got. But yeah, the other possibility that she brings is that the Nizek is saying, look, after all, this animal could have been worth 800. Now, in the end, it's only worth 400. Therefore, it comes out that you've caused me a hezek of 400. So I demand 200. So we're saying that, no, he's not entitled to 200. He's only entitled to 25, which will be the chatzi nezek of the time. At the time, the damage was 50, and therefore he owes 25. Rashi prefers the first explanation, and Tosfos points out there's a logical reason for it. After all, we don't say, for example, say that Reuven's ox kills Shimon's ox when it's a baby. We're not going to say, well, this baby eventually would have grown up and I would have had a full-fledged ox, which is worth a lot. No, you go according to how it was at the time. So the same thing over here. There's no logical reason that Shimon should be able to say, look, you owe me out of 400, the amount that it could have improved, that it could have improved in value. We don't look at such things. That would be more of a grum. Anyway, continues the Braisa. What happens if the animal now is weaker and sicker when it comes to Hamad Abedin? So when they go to Beis Din. So now it goes back down to 400. So the Nizek can't say, you and I are considered partners in the animal, and therefore we should each have to lose out from the reduction in value of the animal. So instead, I'm skipping a line over here. If the shur goes down in value, so in other words, it started at 200, then it was gored and it went down to 150. Now, afterwards, its health deteriorates even further, and now it's worth only 100. So the din is kishas hamod abedin, then you go according to he pays, according to how it is, when it's taken to basin. So, because in other words, we say the fact that it's continuing to deteriorate, it's all a result of that original goring, and therefore we can't just say, well, at the time it was a damage of only 50, and therefore I should only have to pay 25. No, the total damage now turns out to have been 100. And therefore you have to pay 50. Because before it was 200 and now it's 100. Continues the Braisa. Shtovach mazik. What happens if the mazik's ox becomes worth more? And let's remember we said before that Rabbi Akiva said the mazik and the nizik are both basically partners in the mazik ox. If the mazik is worth the entire value of the chatzin nizik, then according to Rabbi Akiva, the entire ox belongs to the nizik. And if not, then they become partners in it. Nosan lekishas nizik, still he pays him in accordance with what it was at the time of the nizik. The nizik can't say we too are partners in this animal, and therefore now when the animal went up in value, then I gained from that as well. So therefore, at the time the animal was worth 200, and the nezek that you would have, the chatzin nezek you would have to pay is 25, which is 1/8 of it. Well, now that the animal is worth more, then I still get 1/8 of the animal, even though that's gone up in value. No, you go with shishas hamadabadin. You go according to how much it was worth at the time of the nezek. So 25, and that's it. Kochash, and if the mazik animal goes down in value, kishas hamodem adin, then you go according to how it is when it's taken to based. In other words, it comes out, it's a kula for the mazik. He's not paying more because his animal went up in value, and if the animal goes down in value, then his he pays may be reduced, depending on, because we said you only pay up to the value of the animal. In other words, so we're saying that in that case, we're saying that the animal was worth 200 at the time of the hezek. So therefore you were entitled to 25, which is 1/8 of it. Now the animal has gone down in value and it's worth only 160. Fine, I only have to give you 1/8 to the animal, which is going to be 20. Which the Gemara is going to ask, that the Reisha and the Sefer, the Braisa seem to contradict one another, because what are we saying? Are we going in favor of the Mazik or in favor of the Nizim? Omamar, Shovach Mazik Nosin Kishas and Nezik. So let's start from the end of the Braisa. We said that if the Mazik animal goes up in value, then you still pay according to how it was at the time of the Nezik, meaning that the Nizik can't say the animal has gone up in value, therefore I'm entitled to still the same percentage of the animal, which is going to come out to be more money. Well, Mani Rabbi Shmuel, that seems to be according to Rabbi Shmuel, Dama Bal Choyvu, where he says that the Nizek is only a Bal Choyv, the Zuzi Hodomasically, so therefore he only owes him money. So he owes him 25. That 25 doesn't change depending on whether the animal went up in value. Even though it went up, and now 1/8 of the animal, 25, what was 25 out of 200, is now, let's say, 30 out of 240 or whatever. We don't say that because Rabbi Shmuel says, the same way as when you owe somebody money, it doesn't go up. The amount you pay doesn't go up depending on how much money you have. So that part of the braisa goes according to Rabbi Shmuel. But look at the last case of the braisa, where it says, kochash kishas ha-modabedin, that if the animal goes down in value, then you go according to how it was, how it is when you go to Beistin. And by the time you go to Beistin, the mazik animal is now not worth 200, it's worth only 160. And therefore, the 1/8 of it is 20 rather than 25. Asan Rabbi Akiva. That part seems to be according to Rabbi Akiva, Dama Shrikvininu, who says they're partners, and therefore the amount of the animal that he gets is going to fluctuate depending on the value of the animal. So what's going on? Reisha Rabbi Shmuel B'Sefer Rabbi Akiva. In this braisa, is the beginning, within the part about the mazik animal, are we talking that one part of that braisa is according to Rabbi Shmuel and the other according to Rabbi Akiva? And the answer is loy, kula Rabbi Akiva. No, the answer is the entire braisa is talking according to Rabbi Akiva, or that part of the braisa about the mazik is all according to Rabbi Akiva. The first part about the nizik's animal going up and down is not relevant to the machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The machlokas is about the ownership of the mazik animal. That's why the Gemara is focusing only on the end of the braisa. Anyway. Because what we're talking about over here, why is it that the mazik animal went up in value? Not because it just grew on its own and became stronger or whatever. Because the mazik actually fattened it up. He spent money on getting good food for it, so that it'll fatten up and become stronger. So therefore, the nizik doesn't have a right to any of the shvach of the animal about the animal. Which Tosfos actually talks about that in the, now you have a concept that's brought in other places in Gemara where you have you have shvach and you have yitziyah. You have to consider yitziyah, which is the expenses that you spent for making something better. And we're actually going to talk about it later in the Masechta as well. And you have shvach, which is the actual increase in value that's the result of that. Now you can have, you know, hopefully what you hope that what you do is you give X amount of yitziyah and you're going to have a larger amount of shvach. But sometimes you may have the other way around that the shvach is equal to the yitziyah or even less. So Tosfos just discusses actually that if the shvach was greater than the yitziyah, then maybe in fact the nizik would have the right to some of that shvach. But here we're talking about that the shvach is not greater than the yitziyah. So therefore the mazik can say, look, I spent an extra 100 to fatten up this animal. The animal is now worth an extra 100. So that 100 is all what I laid out for that. You don't have any right to get any extra of that.
It is before
Magda Bedin. Well, we're talking about before how Magda Bedin, Pashtos, because, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Ikshat Pitmoy. So you're talking about then that the fattening, you're talking about that the animal went up in value because the mazik fattened it up. Well, Eimer Reisha. Now let's go back. Now let's go back to the beginning of the Braisa, where we talk about the Nizik's animal increasing in value, where we said Shavach Ba'omen al Dalad Me'ezuz, where we said that if the Shur Nizik went up in value and went to 400, Noisan the Kishasa Nezik, then you still pay according to the time of the Nezik, meaning, as we said before, according to Rashi's first and preferred explanation, that what it means is that the Mazik can't say, well, look, you know, the animal is worth more even than when we started out with, so all the damage that I caused has more than been compensated for. What do you want from me? No, he still has to pay the 25. Well, if Shimon, the owner of the Nizik animal, fattened it up and spent his own money to make it go from 200 to 400, Tzricha L'Meimar, would you need to say that? Obviously, Reuven can't say then that I didn't do anything because it's better now than it was before. Shimon can say, you know, why it's better is because I put money and effort into it. So what is the Braisa talking about? So Amar Papa, it's like this. Reisha mashkachas law ben de patma patumi ben de shavcha memela. The truth is, the reisha, the case where the nizik animal goes up in value, that actually you can say that would work out with either possibility, whether he actually fattened it up or whether it became stronger and worth more on its own. And the Itzrich Lashmi Inan, so therefore the Chiddush of that part of the Braisa is, the Braisa has to tell us, the Hecha, the Shovcha Memela, if it goes up in value on its own, so not that the Mazik, not that the Nizik fattened it up, but that the... Okay. So the Braisa is telling us the Hecha the Shovcha Memela, that even if it became better on its own, Noisan like Kishasa Nezek still has to pay him according to the time of the Nezek, and he can't say, well, look, all the damage that I caused has been more than made up. That's the Chiddush for that part of the Braisa. Now, according to Rashi's second explanation, that we were saying that the Nezek can't say, well, it would have been worth even more if it hadn't been for your Shur, then therefore I demand part of that. So Rashi explains here also that the point is the first part of the Braisa is saying that the Nizik can't say, give me the extra 200 because otherwise it would have been worth even more. The question is, well, if he pitmai, then you could say, then what's the Chiddush? Of course, the Mazik can say, well, you know why the animal went up in value is because you took care of it. Why should I be responsible to pay more because you did that? However, again, Rashi says, then, sure, you do have to tell us that. The fact is he calls him a Hezek. Because otherwise the same amount of pitum, the same amount of feeding him that he went into, that went into increasing the value of the animal would have caused it to increase even more. So shouldn't he have a right to that? So anyway, Rashi still prefers the first explanation. And again, Tosfos points out you can't be mechayiv him for what would have happened, because by that same logic, you would say that if it killed a baby animal, you should be chayiv for the eventual value of a full grown animal. And of course you don't do that. Anyway. So therefore, so the first part of the Braisa, says Rav Papa, is telling us when Shovcha Memela, when the Nizik animal went up in value on its own, then the Nizik is still entitled to collect the 25 from the Mazik. The Mazik can't say, well, look, it's more than been made up. if Patma Patumi, if he himself fed the animal, obviously the Mazik for sure can't make any such claim. And then there's no question on page 25.
So if it wasn't the Mazik fattening up, so then how
the Nizik, it actually. So that you could have it became better just because an animal grows over time and becomes stronger. It becomes older. You could also have, it becomes stronger. So either way, though, so that's what Papa is saying. The first part of the Braisa, when we're talking about the Nizik's animal going up in value, we're saying that could work either way. It could be that he fattened it. It could be the Nizik actually fattened it up. Or it could be that it grew on its own and became stronger. Either way, the Mazik has no right to say, well, look, now it's worth more. Therefore, that covers the Nezik that I should have had to pay. We don't say that. There's less of a chiddush if he fattened it up, but there's more of a chiddush if it became stronger and then better on its own. Sefer, on the other hand, Rav Papa continues, when it comes to the Sefer of the Braisa, you're right, the Sefer necessarily would have to be only when the Mazik fattened up the animal, because if it increased in value on its own, then yes, according to Rav Akiva, the Nizik would be entitled to a larger percentage of it, because then we would say they're partners in the animal, and partnership implies that as the animal becomes stronger and bigger, then each of us is entitled to our percentage of it, which that percentage now is gonna grow more than the original 25 that it would have been. Okay. Well, the Gemara asks, the last thing we need to ask in this braisa is Kohash Machmas Mai. When we talk about, we said that the case, you have also the case in the Braisa where the Nizik's animal went down in value. And we said that the Nizik pays Kishas HaMod HaBadin, then you go according to how it is when you go to Beis Din. Meaning, in other words, the original damage was only 50. If we had, at the time, we figured out that now this animal went down from 200 to 150 because of the goring, now by the time you take HaMod HaBadin, it's gone down even further, and now it's worth only 100. So therefore, we say that now the total damage is 100, and Chatzi Nezik of that is 50. The question is, Kochash Machmas Mai. What made the animal become weaker and worth less now by the time they went to Beis Din? Ilema de Kachsha Machmas Malacha. Do we mean that meanwhile Shimon has been doing work with the animal and that caused it to become weaker? So why should Reuven have to pay more? Lay Malay. Let him tell him. You're overworking your animal. Does that require me to pay more? What's the logic? So Amar Ravashi de Kochash Machmas Macha. No, what we mean is it became weaker because of the blow, because of the injury. The Omalei, where in effect he can tell him, now why can't the Mazik say, okay, but at the time the damage was only 50. You didn't take care of the animal, why is that my problem? But the Omalei, because Shimon can tell him, pounded the turtle, the horns of your ox are buried in the animal, meaning, in other words, this is an after effect of the original goring, and has nothing to do with me not taking care of the animal. I took care of it normally, but it's now the animal is becoming sicker and weaker because it all started with your animal goring, and therefore, yes, I can be mechayev you for additional payment because of that.
But this is becoming to Bezin later as the months went by, then it goes to Bezin.
Well, I mean, if the Nizik chooses to only take him a month later to Beis Din, then maybe we don't say that. We're talking about he took him as soon as possible, but nevertheless, it's still deteriorated more during that time. Okay.
He has to be able to prove that.
Obviously, you'd have to be able to prove. Yeah, obviously, we're skipping out a lot of things over here. Obviously, you need Adim, you need proofs, you're going to have arguments and counter-arguments. Yeah, of course, yeah. Mishnah says, here's another case involving oxen goring and figuring out how much we pay. Shur shava masayim, shur shava masayim. Two animals, each one is worth 200, one of them gored and killed the other. The ain and the vela yofiklum. Now, suppose the dead body of the carcass of the animal that was killed is not worth anything. So the total nezik was 200. Chatzi nezik is 100. So Omer Rav Meir al zeh nemar. This is the kind of thing the pasuk means when it describes. It says u'mocharus asher achai v'chotzeras kasper. You sell the live ox and you divide the money because that's exactly it over here. You have a total hezek of 200. Chatzi nezik is 100. The animal is worth 200. Well, that's what the pasuk means. When the pasuk says you sell the live ox and divide the money, it obviously doesn't mean no matter how much the mazik ox is worth. I mean, you could have the mazik ox is worth 1,000. You're not going to say that you sell it and each of them gets 500 because the total nezik was only 200. even and chatzin nezek is going to be only 100. So the mayor is pointing out the kind, when the pasuk uses the expression that you divide, that you sell the live ox and divide the money, we're talking about like this, where the value of the ox is equal to the value of the nezek. And then chatzin nezek would be half of that. So Rabbi Yehuda says to the mayor, I agree that that is the halacha. It's true. That is what you do in this case. However, but that's not what the pasuk is talking about, because kiyamto macher is asher achai v'chotzer as kasvoy. Sure, your scenario takes care of what the pasuk is saying, that you sell the live ox and divide the money. But the pasuk continues, you also divide the dead one. Now, how is that? In your scenario, there is no value of the dead one at all, so there's nothing to talk about. So how can you say, so rather, the Yehuda says, I agree the din is like you're saying, but that's not what the pasuk is referring. That's not the scenario that the pasuk is referring.
Only we can use the whole pasuk.
The Ezezeh. What is the case? The pasuk is talking about the Ezezeh, Zeh, Shur, Shavu, Masayim, Shinogach, Shur, Shavu, Masayim, where the two oxen were worth 200. The Anvela Yofa Chamishim Zuz, the dead carcass of the animal is worth 50. So it is worth something. Then we say zen noto, then zen noto, chatzi achai v'chatzi ames, or zen noto chatzi achai v'chatzi ames. Now what happens is, each one of them gets half of the live one and half of the dead one, meaning, in other words, we calculate like this. The total amount of the damage was 150, so therefore chatzi nezik is 75. So now what we do is, so the mazik has to pay 75. So how is he doing that? We take 25 of the nevela of the dead animal. We take 50 of the live one. So each one, in other words, ends up losing out seven. So we say that the total amount of damage was 150. Altogether, it's going to come out that each one of them is so the mazik is going to be losing 75. The nizik is also in effect going to be losing 75. So what we do is, therefore, we take chatzi achai, we take chatzi ames, which is 50. We take chatzi achai, which is 200, and we divide that between them. So therefore, 250 divided in 2 is 125. Each one of them gets 125. So it comes out, therefore, that it comes out. So now the nizik has lost 75, which is because he only gets chatzi nezik, he loses the other half, and the mazik has also lost 75.
It's really comes up to be more than chatzi nezik.
No, so it's not more than chatzi nezik. The total nezik was 150. The total nezik was 150, therefore 75 has to be paid, which means, in other words, the mazik is losing 75. He has to pay 75. The nizik is also losing 75 in the sense that before he had an asset that's worth 150 more than it is now. He had a live animal, which is worth 200. Now he has a dead animal, which is worth only 50.
Now, who gets to keep the live animal?
So who gets to keep the live animal? So then, according to Rabbi Akiva, we said that there's shurtim in it. We said their partner was in it. So we sell. So either, as the pasuk is describing, we actually sell it and divide the money appropriately between them. Or if he decides to hold on to the animal, then we said they're both partners in it. And as we said, if it goes up in value on its own, not by the nizik feeding it, for example, then not by the mazik feeding it, then the nizik is entitled to a larger share of it. Eventually, when it's shechted or sold, then they'll each get their percentages. Yeah. Okay.
But then it doesn't have to go to either one. They're just partners.
Right. Because Rabbi Akiva had said before, huchlat asher, but that was talking about where the sher is worth the entire value of the nezik. So here it's not, because the shur mazik is worth 200 and the total mazik is only 150. So yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, so in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is answering Rabbi Meir and says, according to you, Rabbi Meir, the whole pasuk doesn't work out. So now we're going to learn a braisa where Rabbi Meir has an answer to that. So Tana Rabbanan, shur shavu masayim shenogach shur shavu masayim. If one animal worth 200 gored, another one worth 200. Va'nevela yofa chamishim zuz, and the nevela is worth 50. Zen noto chatzi achai v'chatzi ames. V'zen noto chatzi achai v'chatzi ames. V'zehu shurro. Omer b'torah divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says this is the exact case that the Torah is talking about when it says that they sell the live one and also they divide the dead one. That is exactly what we're talking about when both the live and the dead one have value. But Reb Meir Omer Ein Zehu Shura on the Torah. Reb Yehuda says no, this is not the case of Shur that's talking about in the Torah. Ela Shur Shavu Masayim. Reb Meir says, as he said in the Mishnah, that it's talking about, the Torah is talking about where the Nevela is not worth anything. Because then, in other words, he's saying to Rabbi Yehuda, the problem with your scenario is you're not exactly dividing the value of the live shur. Because after all, in your scenario, the damage is 150. Chatzin Nezek is only 75. But the live shur is worth 200. The fact is, we're not saying you're giving 100 to the Nizik. You're giving only 75. You're giving only 75, and that 75 is coming partially from the Nevela. So therefore, on the contrary, the mayor says, if you learn the pasuk the way you're learning Rabbi Yehuda, then you have a problem. You can't say v'chotzu, because v'chotzu implies that you're dividing exactly in half, and that you're not. So the mayor says, what does the pasuk mean? When it says they divide up the dead one, that means it means the reduction in value that the formerly live animal went down and now became mess. That reduction in value, we divide within the living animal, meaning, in other words, that he's saying that, so we have to figure out how much of the value of the shur went down because it died, and you're paying half of that. And that comes mikufay, so in other words, he says, in this case, the damage was full 200, because it went down from 200 to zero. So you have that, you should know, is coming, mikufay is coming from the body of the tam that caused the damage, and therefore you're selling it, and you're literally splitting the money 100 to one, 100 to the other. Yeah, so in other words, he says, "Vagamas on mess yachzun" doesn't mean that the mess has a value. It means you figure out how much did the value go down because this animal died, because this animal got killed. Yeah. In this case, it's full 200. Well, half of 200 is 100. And that comes out to, that comes out but from the live one. So therefore, we sell the live one. So he's not bothered by Rabbi Yehuda's point in the Mishnah that the gamas hames yechzun means that the mess has to have a value. On the contrary, he says it means the problem with that is then you don't have a real yechzun because it's not a 50-50 split of the live animal. Rather, he's saying that the gamas hames yechzun means we figure out the total value of how much the dead animal, how much it went down in value from being alive to dead, and that's what we pay.
Point on how much, let's say it's worth 50. Well, how
so if it's worth 50, he would agree with it. They're agreeing with each other's din. They're agreeing with each other's din. The Gemara is going to point out in a second. The Gemara is going to point out now and that's the minute between them. They both agree with each other's basic din, that you have to figure out the actual total value of the damage and then divide it in half. They're just arguing how to learn the pasuk. So that's what the Gemara says. Mechti, Ben Rav Meir, Ben Rav Yehuda, Hai Meir V'Esrim V'Chamisha Shokel, V'Hai Meir V'Esrim V'Chamisha Shokel. The bottom line is, according to each one of them, according to both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, the Mazik and the Nizik are both getting 125, because in the scenario where the Nevela is worth 50. Because again, the total damage is 150, half of that is 75, so therefore the Mazik says, you Mazik have an animal worth 200, you have to give chatzin nezek. So therefore, it comes out that 75 of the value of your animal is going to 75 of the value of your animal plus the nevela are going to go to the nizek and the other way around. So each one at the end of things, each one ends up with 125. So it comes out the mazik has lost 75 out of 200 of the value of his animal, and the nizek has lost 75 because he has a nevela that's worth 50, and plus the 75 he's getting gives him 125. So they both agree with that din. My benayhu, what is the actual practical difference in halacha between them? And the answer is, Amar Rava, pras nevela ikka benayhu. The nafkamina between them would be, if the nevela went down in value from when this happened until they went to base them. Reb Meir sava pras nevela de nizakavi. So the mayor holds that is on the nizak, meaning, so this scenario that we just said, where he's going to have to, where a total of one, where each one is supposed to end up with 125, meaning that we're saying, in other words, that 75 of the value of the live animal is going to go to the nizak, plus the 50 of the value of the nevela. Well, if the nevela goes down in value, and now instead of being worth 50, by the time they come to Hamad Abadin, it's worth only 40, we don't say the mazik should have to pay more out of his animal to compensate for that. We say that at the time of the Nezek, it was 75 and 50. Now it's only 75 and 40. That's not my problem. The Nevela belongs to you, Nezek, and therefore any deterioration in it is on you, as we learned earlier in the Masech.
Is that right? His guy gored my animal.
That's fine, but you should have gone to Beis Din as soon as possible. You should have taken steps to make sure that you should have gone to Beis Din as soon as possible before it deteriorates further. Then Beis Din would have evaluated the dead animal is worth 50, and we would have gone from there. You decided to wait a few days, and now it's worth only 40. The Mazik can say that's not my problem. Rabbi Yehuda Sava Pras Nevela de Mazik Havi Palga. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds. Since Rabbi Yehuda holds that Vagamas, he holds, you have to also consider Vagamas and Mesiatun. Therefore, he says they're considered partners in the dead animal as well. So therefore, he's going to say that yes, if it goes down in value, then we have to readjust the amounts because now let's say it went down from 50 to 40. So now half of its value is 20. So now we're going to say, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, well, now the Mazik has to pay 5 more out of the value of his live one, because now there's an extra 5 on each one of them. So Omalei Abaya. So Abaya says, the problem with that is in Kain Matsinu Rabbi Yehuda, Tam Chomer Minuad. In that case, when you come out according to Rabbi Yehuda, in effect, you're saying that a Tam is going to be worse off than a Muad. Because by a Muad, we learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned in the first Perek, we learned from a Pasuk, and we had a case, for example, over there of a Shur that fell into a Bur, whereby a Bur, there's no difference of Tam and Muad, and we said, Abaylam, the Taflam, the Nevela, belongs fully to the owner, and it's his responsibility what happens with it in terms of deterioration and value and so forth. So we said the same kind of thing over there. The animal fell into the burr. It was worth 200. Now the nevela is worth only 50. So the owner of the burr pays 150. If, meanwhile, by the time of Hamad Madin, it goes down to 40, we don't make the owner of the burr pay 160. Instead, he pays 150 and he says, here, you have your nevela, which is worth 40 now, which it was worth 50 before. So we see that by a muad you do that. So why is it by a tam we would be saying that he's going to have to pay more if the nevela goes down in value? We always know that a tam is supposed to be less stringent than a muad. Now you're going to say maybe there is a case where a tam according to Rabbi Yehuda can be stronger than a muad. As in fact we learn later on in the Masechta. So now we're going to talk about later on in the Masechta, a person owns a shur and he doesn't take. He doesn't put a strong enough door in front of it or something, and it goes out and causes damage. So Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Tam Chayev a Muad Potter. So Rabbi Yehuda over there says, if the animal is a tam, then the owner is going to be Chayev, but if it's Muad, then he's going to be Potter. We're going to learn over there the logic why it is, but he says. Because by the pasuk says v'lo yishmerenu ba'olav, the owner doesn't watch it, implying that if he watches it, then that might be enough. And that pasuk is talking in connection with a muad, so implying that even a shmir kosa, even a lesser degree of watching, might be enough. We'll talk about it later on daf mem ches. We'll get to it in a couple of weeks. Bez Hashem. Anyway, the point is there you have an example where Rabbi Yehuda actually says that there can be cases where a tam is stricter than a muad. So why don't we say the same thing over here? The answer is Abram Shamat the Rabbi Yehuda in Shmira Diksivi Kroy. Yeah, because by the pasuk it talks about Shmira. It says the word Voi Shmira and Balav. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda can learn from that you have a difference between Tam and Mord. But in Tashlumin Nishama play, where do we ever find by Tashlumin that you should have that distinction that a Tam should be stronger than a Mord? So we're back to the question. Then what do you mean that we're saying the nafkamina between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is what happens if the nevela goes down in value, where we're making the owner of the tam pay more? What's the logic? Then in that case, it comes out that it's stricter than muad, because a muad, we're saying you never do that. So v'hatania, and in fact, we learn in a brisa, not like that. we're not like what we were just trying to say of how Rabbi Yehuda holds. Suppose that a shur that's worth a mona, which is 100 zuz, suppose it gored an ox that's worth 5 sloim. A sella is 4 zuz, so you have the mazik was worth 100, the nizik is worth only 20. the nevela yofasela. The nevela is worth only one sela, which is four zuz. So you're going to say, says Rabbi Yehuda, zen noito chatzia chai v'chatzia mes, zen noito chatzia chai v'chatzia mes. Are we going to say that we divide the value of the live and the dead animal, as the pasuk is saying? So it would come out, in other words, what would it come out? So like we said before, about an ox worth a thousand, it's going to come out. He's paying more than the hezek. Because after all, let's consider the total hezek was. So the animal went down from five to one sela, which means there was a loss of four sela, which is 16 zuz, because there's four zuz in a sela. So therefore, half of that would be eight. What are we saying instead? If you're going to say chatzia chayv, chatzia mes, literally, then you're going to wind up with the. So now you consider the value of the animal that caused the damage, which was 25 sloim, and you're going to take half of that, 12 and a half sela, plus half the value of the nevela. It's going to come out. You're a lot more. You're a lot more even than nezek sholim, let alone chatzi nezek. So amrit. So you have to say, says Rabbi Yehuda, you can't say that. Why is a muad said to be different? Why does the Torah distinguish a muad from a tam? Do you come to make a greater chumrah on a muad or to make more of a kula? Obviously, the Torah has been machmer on a muad because it's paying nezek sholim. Well. So if a muad is paid maximum the actual amount of the damage, how much more so a tam, which is more lenient. So obviously Rabbi Yehuda does not say there could ever be a case with payment where the tam is paying where the tam is stricter than the muad. So here, as far as pras nevela, how can you say that if the animal was muad, then pras nevela, the reduction in value of the nevela, the fact that it deteriorated, is all on the nizik? But then we're going to say that if the damaging animal, if the attacking animal was a tam, then you're going to say part of that is on the mazik. That would make in that area of payment, it would come out that the tam is stronger than the muad, and we see clearly in the braisa that Rabbi Yehuda says not that. So rather, Rabbi Yochanan says, Shvach nevela ikabeinayu. On the contrary, don't say the nafkamina between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. If the nevela went down in value, say that if it went up in value. Now, how could that be? Let's say, for example, there's a shortage of, people need meat to feed their dogs or something, and right now there happens to be a shortage, and therefore now this nevela is worth more than what they thought it was going to be originally. So now, the Marisover. So now Rabbi Meir holds, look, the Mazik has no ownership over the Nevela. So the Nizik, therefore he says, that increase in value is completely of the Nizik. So in other words, in the scenario that we said before, where the original damage was 150 because it went down from 200 to from 200 alive to 50 dead, and we said because of that, Chatzi Nezek was 75. If the nevela goes up in value and instead of being worth 50 is now worth 60, we're not going to say, oh well, then in that case the whole hezek was only 140 and I should only have to pay 70. No, he still has to pay his 75, and the nezek gains from the fact that the nevela went up in value. Umar Sover, where's Rabbi Yehuda, is going to hold Palga, the Mazik owns half of the Nevela, so therefore that reduces the amount that he has to pay. So, behind the Kokashala, the Rabbi Yehuda. Now that explains why Rabbi Yehuda has a question in a different, in another Braisa, where we just did, so we have another braisa where you have like this. Now that we're saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda that the Torah has rachmanus on the mazik, the shokol b'shvacha, where we're saying he gets a certain percentage of the shvach, he gets half of the shvach, and therefore if the dead animal goes up in value, that's going to reduce the amount that he has to pay for chatzi nezek. Well, in that case, Yot continues another braisa. Yochol shur shav chomish sloyim shenagach shur shav amana. Suppose that a shur that's worth five sloyim gores an ox. So before, the previous braisa talked about where the mazik animal was worth more, where it was 100 versus 20. Now let's talk about the other way around. What if the goring animal was worth 20 and the animal that was killed was worth a mana, which is 100 zuz? The nevela yofa chamishim zuz. The nevela of the animal is worth 50. Are you going to say also? Rabbi Yehuda wonders. Zen noto chatiya chay v'chatiya mes. Zen noto chatiya chay v'chatiya mes. You're going to say that each one gets a half of that. The problem with that is Amrit Heichan Matsinu Mazik Nisker Shazen Nisker. Where do we find a case where Mazik should be gaining? We're here, in effect, you're saying that he's gaining, because what happens? You're saying over here that let's consider the value of the damaging animal is 20 zuz. The value of the animal that was killed was 100, and now the dead animal is worth only 50. So the total amount of damage, the total amount of damage was 50 zuz. If we're going to say that he gets half of the value of the nevela, half the value of the nevela is 25. His own animal is worth only 20. So you're going to say he's then noto chati ames, and he's gaining. And you can't have a mazik should be, you can't have a mazik should be gaining, yeah. Va'oimer, not only that, the pasuk says shalom yishalom. The pasuk says you should pay, meaning by the mishalom and then by the notrim, meaning that the owner of the shur that caused the nezik is paying. He doesn't take anything. So the Gemara says, "My va'omer." Why does Rabbi Yehuda need to bring that second proof? What was wrong with the first pasuk? And why isn't that proof strong enough? And the answer is v'chitema, because otherwise you would have said, "Hani mili." You don't divide it. Hecha de'ikapsei de la nizik, where the nizik is going to lose out because of it, like in the earlier case, because the nizik's animal was worth so much more. Then therefore you're going to say you don't want to you don't want to give the mazik a portion of the nevela, because then the nizik is going to be losing out a lot from that, because then we said that the tam is paying. In this particular case, this last case that we just described, where the nevela is worth more than the mazik shur, than the entire mazik shur, then we don't want the mazik to be gaining from that and the nizik to lose. But suppose you have an example where the nizik is not going to lose. What if both animals are worth an equal amount? They're both worth 5 sloim, which is 20 zuz, by nevela yofesh shloshim zuz, and the nevela actually goes up in value, and now it's worth 30, so it's worth more dead than alive. Shokel nami mazik v'shvacha. Maybe we would think in that case the mazik should be entitled to part of that shvach as well. The nizik is not losing out, because he's getting everything that he's getting, his entire nezik. He's even getting extra. So va'oimer shalom yishalom. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda brings in the brisa, the pasuk shalom yishalom. And fine, by the mishalom, then by the notman, the owner of the mazik is only ever going to pay. He's never going to take anything. Meaning that you can't say that he's going to get. You can't say that he's going to gain something in this case. He's not going to gain more than the value than the value of his shur. Actually, the Me'iri talks about over here. He says that that really you'd have to consider the increase in value kind of in stages. You can talk about over here. Let's say the nevela. How does a nevela come to be worth more than the animal was alive? So he explains. Let's say, for example, so when the animal was first killed, the nevela was worth 15. So at that time there was a hezek of 5 zuz. Now prices have gone up, and now it's worth 30 zuz. So we're saying that the nizik gets all of that extra value because shaloyah hamazik nisker. The fact that first though it went up to 20, so that taka they divide between them. He says because the mazik doesn't really gain, he doesn't really gain anything from that. So now he becomes potter from paying because the fact is that there's nothing for him to pay. We don't say that he gets any part of the shevach, because obviously we don't want him to gain from what he did. But the point is that it does make up for the fact, and therefore. And therefore he ends up not having to pay. And then different other rishonim talk about different possibilities within that. When we would say, is there ever a case where the mazik would get something, or do we always say the mazik is never going to be gaining anything? He's always going to be either losing or at least breaking even. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Acha b'tachlifa l'Rava." So Rav Acha bar Tachlifa asks Rava that if we're saying that Rav Yehuda is saying that Begamas Hanes Yechzun is now. So again, let's go back. We said that Rav Meir holds that the words for Gamas Hanes Yechzun and the Pasuk are not saying that the mace actually has a value. We're saying that we figure out the total reduction in value and we apply it to the mazik. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying, he says, v'gamas hames yechzun, meaning that we actually figure the value of the live animal and the value of the dead animal, and we adjust accordingly. Well, in that case, says Rabbi Achba Tachlifa, in Cain, maksimu Rabbi Yehuda, tam m'shalom yoseh m'chatzinezeh. Don't you have a scenario where tam is going to end up paying more than chatzinezeh? Because, suppose, for example, suppose the two animals, Rashi explains, suppose that the mazik was worth 50, the nizik was worth 40, the nevela is worth 20. So the total nezik is 20 because it went down from 40 to 20. Chatzi nezik is 10. If you say that you're taking chatzi achai, chatzi ames, then it comes out the nizik is getting, is getting altogether 35. He's getting half of the live one, which is 25, and half of the dead one, which is 10, which is total 35. And chatzi nezik was only 10. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that wouldn't work out either. And hatvat Torah amra. And after all, the Torah says mlocheres asherah chay v'chotzeres kasvoy. Rashi adds, according to the mayor, you're saying you just figure out the amount that it was reduced by the death and you're paying only half. So according to the mayor, that's not a problem. But according to the Yehuda, we're saying that, yeah, if the value of a live one is more than Nezek Sholem, then we said you don't do that because we said the Kabbal Choymer that you don't get more than you would do for a Mord. But over here, you don't have that. The fact is he is paying less than what he damaged, but on the other hand, it is more than Chatzi Nezek. So how is this going to work? Tosfos adds the point. In other words, it's not that the pasuk actually is not clearly saying chatzi nezek, but the fact is the pasuk does say the word ummachu, that they have to sell it and divide the money, and Rabbi Yehuda himself clearly says elsewhere chatzi nezek, so therefore he knows that you're never paying more than chatzi nezek. So how is he going to understand the pasuk? The Gemara answers, Isle Rabbi Yehuda, Pachas Shepachsa Mitzah, Machatzin Machai. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the decrease in value that went down by the death, then you divide that by the Chai. So therefore, yes, in that pasuk, we're still talking that you get only Chatzin Nezek. He says that B'chotzu, B'mocher es Asher Achai, B'chotzu es Kasper, B'gamas HaMeis Yechzun, he does agree, like with the mayor, to a certain extent, that B'gamas HaMeis Yechzun doesn't just mean you figure out the value of the dead one and split it in half. It means we have to consider the reduction in value and we have to apply it to the mazik. So the Gemara says, in other words, he would understand the word v'gamas hames yechzun in this kind of scenario, similar to the way Rabbi Meir does. Well, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda already used that pasuk to teach us a different point, that you divide the value of the live one and the value of the dead one. That, because as he said in the Mishnah, you have the case where each of them is worth 200 and the nevela is worth 50. So how can he now be gaushening something else from the pasuk the way Rabbi Meir says? And the answer is, in Cain, if it just meant the din, that if we're just talking about the din, that you figure out the reduction in value and apply it to the live one, niftiv krov ve'esan meis yechzun, ve'esan meis, the pasuk could have just said, and the dead one. My v'gam, why does the pasuk say, and also the dead one, therefore it means, shema min atauti, therefore you learn both din from it. The fact that we do figure out the value of the difference between when it was alive and when it was dead, and apply that, as Rabbi Meir had said. In addition, Rabbi Yehuda is learning from it the other din that we said, that they're both considered partners in the dead animal, and therefore if it goes up in value by the time of Hamlad of a din, then the mazik gains from that, because now it reduces his payment. Then Rabbi Yehuda is learning that from the fact that it says v'gam.
There is a situation where he does gain.
Not that he should actually be getting money, but rather that he gains in the sense that he has to pay less than he otherwise would have. Whereas according to the mayor, we don't do that. According to the mayor, we said, since we said Shvach Nevela Ikabinayu, then we say the entire increase in value of the Nevela is a windfall for the Nizik. The Mazik's payment doesn't get reduced any because of that. okay, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir, as it usually is. So therefore, that would be the halacha over here, that if there is an increase in value of the nevela, then in fact the mazik benefits from that. He's not going to be given money by the nizik, never. But the point is, he's going to have to pay less, right? Okay. I should probably have one.